So first, I want to tell you I'm proud of my truck. Like my 92 Ford F-250. I was up in the hills one day getting firewood in my 92 Ford F-150. Four-wheel drive. Man, I found this great pile of wood and I backed down to it and loaded it. I can get about a quart of wood on that truck. I mean, it's a heavy duty truck. The problem was I couldn't get out once I loaded it. I was kind of new to the area. I didn't realize that the mud was slippery. And it just, just kind of bogged down. And I didn't want to unload my cord of wood. So eventually I had burdens come up way up in the hills to get me to pull me out. That was an expensive cord of wood. But there was no way I was going to unload that cord of wood and leave the woods without having my cord. Because it would have been like 100 yards toting that load up there. There was a young lady who was interviewing for a job in Madras. She'd gone to it's a farmer's co-op, a little different than ours. This farmer's co-op was that one, the hiree was supposed to deliver machinery to the different farms and equipment and fertilizer and that kind of thing. And so it was a little it, so that farmers could actually rent this equipment. And so as she was in the interview process, one of the person who was interviewing them had a question for her. And they said, if you were to get stuck in the farmer's field, what would you do? And she said, well, one way you could do it is you could dig out in front of the tires and hopefully get some traction going by digging out in front of the tires. Or you could even put some limbs or branches underneath there. And she's an 18-year-old. I guess her dad taught her pretty well. She said, or you could hack off the seat belt and cinch it around the tire. I never heard of that before. Cinch it around the tire and get it out. Or you could just avoid the mud hole altogether. They hired her. Today we're going to talk about getting stuck in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where we had John. We're talking about John, the revelator, John, the apostle, John, the disciple. But in these epistles in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, actually, he's taken on the role of a pastor. And in his role as a pastor, he's trying to encourage them because what he sees is that there are people getting stuck somewhere in their relationship with Christ. And you perhaps have been there. I know I've been there. They get stuck in this relationship and they can't go forward. They can't get traction in this relationship with Jesus Christ. And so their maturity stops, their growth stops, the fellowship with the Lord stops. They only get so far and they quit. Now, John's purpose, and we'll talk about this as we go through the first book, I'm sorry, yeah, the first epistle of John, he's talking about he's wanting them to reach maturity, okay? But you can't reach maturity if you keep getting stuck. So we're going to be talking about five ways today, if we get that far, that Christians get stuck in their relationship. Five ways they stop maturing. I'm sure you have found, saw, seen, and I've been aware of people. They're born and they may grow up and they may be 30, 40 years old, but mentally they stop at like age six. Or they stop at age 12. I was an addictive counselor at one time. And what I discovered was that whenever a person begins using drugs, let's just say 12 years old, 10 years old, whatever. And it becomes a part of their life. They stop maturing emotionally at that point. Because what happens is God expects us, He gave us those emotions. God has emotions. And so what happens is that they dull their senses to be able to feel emotions, and they don't know what to do. And then when the emotions come, rather than dealing with them the proper way, they just numb them. But let's just say they're 40 years old and they decide to get off drugs. Do you know how old they are when they stop using drugs? Emotionally, 12 years old, 10 years old, whatever age they started, because they now have to learn how to deal with their emotions properly. God wants us to grow up. He doesn't want us to be deformed in any way spiritually. He wants us to take His word and use it to grow to maturity. One of the things that John is encouraging in this book is, I want you to be like Christ. I want you to be like Christ. I want you to be like Christ. And he gives us some implements to use if we are stuck. What do we need to do to get out? Or how do you keep from getting stuck? How many of you have ever been stuck in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Okay. All right. Good. Well, I'm preaching. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to people who probably need to hear this. Okay. So, John was very privileged to have walked with Jesus. Can you imagine being discipled by Jesus? How incredible would that be? And so John was a disciple of Jesus, and there were a lot of things that he learned from Jesus that he's passing on to us. As a matter of fact, John says in his gospel that if the books, if everything was written down that Jesus had done, the world could not contain the books. Incredible. Incredible. Can you imagine going to a library and everything in the library is about Jesus' miracles and Jesus' life? And go to the next section, Jesus' life, and Jesus, what he said. Amazing. So John had an eyewitness account of everything that Jesus did, everything that he said. So here we're going to read portions of 1 John chapter 2. We're actually going to begin with 1 John chapter 1 verse 10, and we're going to read verses in chapter 2 and address some of these issues that we're talking about getting stuck. And so we will come back, we'll read through the entirety of the passages that I've chosen. Then we'll come back and expand upon them. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. It says, if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Can you imagine someone saying, I haven't sinned? I guess there are people who do that. Well, I guess, you know, if there are people who are agnostic or people who don't believe there's a God, I guess if you can believe there's no God, you can believe there's no sin. If you claim we've not sinned, you're calling God a liar, showing that his word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of all the world. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know that we are living in him. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble, but anyone who hates another brother or sister is living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from God the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. Let's pray together. Would you stretch your hands across the sanctuary and hold someone's hand, maybe even someone you don't know. If you don't know them, ask them their name and then tell me. Because I want you to pray for one another, okay? Pray for the person on your right, pray for the person on your left, and then pray for yourself that God will speak to your heart and that sometimes we hear God's word and we don't like it, and so we kind of close a portion of our heart off. Oh, I'm not listening. Pray that God would open your ears and open your heart. Let's pray for one another right now, and you pray in the Spirit, pray how God leads you to pray. Lord, we do want our hearts to be open to you. Lord, help us to hear the things of God. Let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's stuck in their relationship with you, Lord, I pray that you would free them so they could get traction once again. So that they go forward in that relationship. And Lord, when they get to heaven, they're not going to be a child. They'll be mature in the faith. And you can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the message that you've brought, that you're bringing. And Lord, again, we just ask your that we will be open to what you have to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, you may be seated. So the first obstacle that we see that could cause us to get stuck in our relationship with the Lord, he mentions it, is sin, okay? Did you know there are a lot of people who get stuck because of the guilt and the shame of the sin they've committed in the past? They have tremendous regrets, and they can't get past those. All of us have done things that we wish we hadn't done. Amen. And I've done some things I wish I hadn't done, and I'm not going to tell you what they are, because it's shameful. And you don't have to tell me everything that you've done. But you do need to tell God. And you need to share with Him the things that are on your heart. Did you know that guilt and shame is there for a reason? It's probably because we're guilty, right? Probably because we've done some shameful things. But did you know, as a Christian, you don't have to live in that any longer? As a Christian, you don't have to live in the guilt and the shame of your past. Because Jesus Christ has redeemed you from your past, you're no longer that person that you once were. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Turn to your neighbor and say, old things are passed away. And all things have become new. Tell your neighbor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not the Brad I used to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You wouldn't have liked me then. Everybody loves me now. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But God has done some tremendous transformation in my heart, and he's done some tremendous transformation in your heart. But here's the thing. As long as you're holding on to the guilt of the past, you can never go forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We read a passage of Scripture last week in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So either he has cleansed us when we repented or he hasn't. And so we need to trust his word, not trust our feelings. A lot of times we trust our feelings over what God says. God says you're forgiven, but I don't feel forgiven. God says you're no longer guilty, but I still feel condemned. God says you're no longer that you no longer have to live in shame, but I still feel shameful. Well, who's telling you that garbage? Did you know that the enemy could impart feelings to you? That's not what God said. So what we need to do, we need to know what truth is, and then we need to line up our feelings with what truth is rather than what the lies are. Okay? So, I've done this for many, many people. I'm going to do it for you. A lot of people hear the message. They like the message that they don't have to live in guilt and shame, but they still carry guilt and shame because they don't know how to get out of that. They don't know how to get unstuck from that. So I'm going to help you. This is not to condemn anyone. You need to be truthful with the Lord, okay? How many of you are carrying guilt and shame from their past? Any hands? Okay? Several hands. All right. So do you want to get rid of that? All right? So I'm going to help you. So you'll need to, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You'll have to fill in the blank. Okay? And you don't have, you pray out loud what I'm going to share with you. But when you confess whatever it is, thank you. I don't know. I'm having some trouble with my voice today. Thank you. Sandy, you might want to go look at my desk on the right-hand side and get some cough drops for me. Sorry about that. I have some allergy medicines I'm taking, but it doesn't seem to help this morning. So anyway, sorry about that. So let's just, maybe it's not right to assume this, but I'm assuming that you're here today because you either have a relationship with Jesus Christ or you're pursuing that. Okay. And regardless, and I think this will work for either, whether you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're carrying guilt and shame, or you're pursuing this relationship with Jesus Christ and you have this guilt and shame. I'm going to lead you in prayer. The prayer will go something like this. Lord, I have guilt and shame in my life because of, and then you fill in the blank. Now, you don't have to say that part out loud. I wouldn't. Okay. But you need to confess that to the Lord. And then after we do that, then I'm going to lead you further in a prayer to release that guilt and shame. Okay? Because God does not want you to live in guilt and shame. I guarantee you. That came on Adam and Eve whenever they were in the garden and they sinned against the Lord. That's the first time guilt and shame entered the world. God never intended for that to happen, but it did. And because of the guilt and shame, they hid themselves, they closed themselves in leaves and that kind of thing, and blamed other people. Here's the deal. When you want to get rid of guilt and shame, you got to be honest with yourself. God, this is what happened to me. This is what I did. There are a lot of people who carry guilt and shame because of what was done to them. Abuse of some sort. And yet they do not hold, they do not, it was not their sin. It was somebody else's sin, thank you. Somebody else's sin that caused that to happen. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So what I'm going to have to, again, if that's where you are, somebody else has projected that upon you, then you're going to need to forgive them in order for the guilt and shame to go away. Okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and you pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am carrying guilt and shame in my life because of, and then you tell the Lord what it's about. Lord, I forgive the individual who projected this upon me. Forgive me for my sin that caused guilt and shame to come upon my life. I don't want guilt and shame anymore. And I command the spirits of guilt and shame to leave me now. I command you to go to the feet of Jesus now. In the name of Jesus. My past is my past. I'm no longer going to live in my past. Today's a new day. God's mercies are new every day. Lord, come into my life. Heal me of the wounds that I created. When I was a participant in this action, Lord, fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We don't have to live in guilt and shame. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Matter of fact, this passage of scripture says, if we do sin, he says, don't sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate who stands before the Father pleading our case. Woo, man. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know what an advocate is? It's someone who stands beside you, who vouches for you, who encourages you, who speaks on your behalf. So, Jesus is like, did you know that sin makes God angry? Did you know that? God is angry with sin. Matter of fact, he hates sin. And in my mind, I see Jesus saying to Father, Lord, don't hold this against Brad. I paid the penalty. Yes, he sinned. I shed my blood so that that could be paid for. I took his punishment. Don't take your punishment out on him. The punishment has been on me. He pleads my case. He's my advocate. He stands beside me. He stands before the Father pleading for mercy. He stands before the Father pleading for grace. And you know what happens? The Father gives me mercy and grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's my advocate. He stands before the Father, pleading my case. Look at the past sins of guilt and shame, but it would be wonderful when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior that we no longer sinned. Wouldn't it? That we no longer had the tendencies toward that. That would be wonderful. But that's not the case. Did you know that when you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you bring a lot of baggage into this relationship? It's kind of like a marriage. When you come into a marriage relationship, you bring your baggage with you. You bring the baggage you brought from your home life growing up. You bring the baggage that things hurt, problems that you brought, you bring in without it. And they bring, your spouse brings that in. And if they've been married before, they bring in some more stuff. And it's kind of messy. It's kind of messy. When you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it can be kind of messy because we're a mess, right? He accepts us as we are. He forgives us where we're at. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. If you come to him with a heart of repentance and you come to him with a heart that is desirous of forgiveness and trusting Jesus as your Savior, he receives us as a child. We're his child. We're his child. We're adopted into his family. But we bring baggage with us. And so God works in us, the Holy Spirit works with us to begin to transform our lives and get those things out of our lives. And did you know it's a lifelong process? And it's almost like one thing, you overcome one thing, and it's like, whoo, I got victory. Then God shows you something else. Right? Kind of like your spouse. No, I'm kidding. So it's this continual work of the Holy Spirit. And here's what we have to do. We have to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit and not resist him. But whenever he reveals things to us, then we need to accept it and say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I want to go further with you. I want to mature with you. If you don't do that, you're going to get stuck in that sinful behavior. And you'll never grow up. Kind of like the Toys R Us commercial. Right? I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. But we want to grow up. We don't want to stay stuck. We don't want to be an infant all our lives. And so here's the deal. Whenever sin is revealed to you, then you have to take initiative. You have to make a choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to live in that sin? Are you going to continue embracing that sin? Or are you going to overcome it? Now, sometimes if it's a stronghold, you may need someone else to help you in that area. Okay. Sometimes there are things you can't get past by yourself. That's why there's the church. Because we all have different giftings. We have different passions. We have different ways that we can help one another in their times of struggle. That's why there's the church. That's why a person who is not, who calls themselves Christian but don't belong to a church, they're not going to grow very far. Can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. I love God. I just hate God's people. That's, you know, that's kind of the attitude. But you can't love God and hate God's people. As a matter of fact, that takes us to our next passage. The second way that we get stuck is unforgiveness. Look, if you would, at verse 9, verse 10 of 1 John chapter 2. If anyone claims, I'm living in the light, but he hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. Did you know in your, if you have hatred, bitterness, and resentment in your heart, that you cause other people to stumble? Did you know that? Matter of fact, this is not in your overhead. Hebrews 12, 15, you might want to write this down. It's a great passage. 12, 15. I may have shared this last week. I don't know. But you need to hear it again if it is. Hebrews 12, 15. Be careful lest anyone fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Did you know a root of bitterness springing up in you can defile a lot of other people? They'll either get bitter at you or they'll get bitter with you. Well, look what Jeannie did to me. Well, I just don't know if I like her anymore. She did. Well, what Jeannie? So, and then we get bitter with them. Well, I don't like her either. I don't even know her, but I don't like her. Or they get bitter at you, because if you have bitterness in your heart, you're going to spew on somebody. And usually it's the people you love the most. You carry that around. You carry it around. It's kind of like shaking up a Coke bottle and you pop the lid and it just spews on everybody. If you're carrying hate, hatred, bitterness in your heart, it's going to spew on somebody. And we will never grow up as long as we're carrying hatred and bitterness in our heart. Never going to happen. As a matter of fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, I think it's verse 15, 14 and 15, if you forgive those, listen, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But you need to listen. If you refuse to forgive others, and now this is Jesus talking. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. God, please forgive me. Nope. But I'm really repentant. Nope. Lord, I need your help. I need you to forgive me. I'm not going to do it. Why not? Because you don't forgive others. That's what Jesus said. I was sharing at a retreat a couple of weeks ago with a group of men, and somebody said, and I shared this passage of scripture. They said, well, why don't preachers preach on this? I thought they did. Maybe you weren't listening. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. But this is a very important passage of scripture. If you want forgiveness for your own sins, then you have to forgive others of their sins, where they have hurt you, where they have wounded you, where they have betrayed you, where they have spoken evil against you. Jesus said, rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's hard to do. When people are revile you and persecute you and show you all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. Praise the Lord! That's hard. That's hard to do. But he said, praise the Lord, give him thanks, because great is your reward in heaven. Don't quit doing what you're doing. Keep going after the Lord. No matter what anybody says. No matter who the naysayers are, keep going after the Lord. Keep going after. But listen, do not allow anger, bitterness, and resentment, unforgiveness, take root in your heart. When you do, you will not grow anymore. Can't do it. Matter of fact, you'll begin sliding backwards. I can't impress upon you enough. Take this to heart. Take this to heart. Take this to heart. I want you to grow up. No more Toys R Us kids. I want you to grow up in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to, that's what John was saying to this, the people. I want you to grow up. I want you to grow up. Don't stay a child. Grow up. Grow up. Yes, it's hard growing up. You remember your teenage years? I don't want to go back there. Okay. It's hard growing up. Tough growing up. It's tough in the Christian life growing up. But it's sure worth it. It's sure worth it. It's sure worth it. Don't let these things hold you back anymore. Grow up. That's what John's saying. Listen, children, he calls them children. He said, my children, my children, my children, grow up, grow up, grow up. He had this endearment that he had with them. Grow up, my children. I was in Haiti several years ago, and I had an interpreter. His name was Alex. I really became fond of Alex. He could speak English very, very well. And so one day I asked Alex, I said, Alex, how did you learn to speak English so well? He spoke better than me. How did you learn to speak English so well? He said, well, when I was a child, I was adopted into a home in New York. A family in New York adopted me. And so I went there and had a great time there. And, you know, I had a younger sister that was part of the family, and she and I didn't get along so well. She had some animosity toward me. One day, 12 years old, my dad comes into my room. And he says, Alex, pack your bags, pack your belongings, and come with me. And so Alex didn't know what was going on. He packed his bags and got his bags and went out the door with Dad. Dad drove him to the airport, gave him a one-way ticket to Haiti, and said, I never want to see you again. I did what you're doing. And I asked Alex, because you can see bitterness and anger in people, right? I mean, you look at their facial expressions and you see they wear it. Alex didn't wear it. And so I asked Alex, I said, Alex, it doesn't appear that you have any anger or animosity toward the family. And let me just tell you, Haiti is not a great place to live. And living on the streets when you're 12 years old with no family, it's brutal. It is brutal. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there's no longer any government in Haiti. It's all taken over by gangs. Horrible. When I was in Haiti, yeah, I'll share this. I know I'm getting a little long, but anyway. When I was in Haiti, we were coming out of the compound where we were staying. I mean, it's a concrete compound with razor wire on top and security guards, and we were safe. Coming out of the compound and going back to the airport, there was a lot of people gathered around this fire that we had passed. And so someone asked the interpreter, Alex, Alex, what's going on there? He said, well, somebody stole a goat. And the people went after him with machetes. And they cut him up, and they're burning him over here. And all of the children are watching with the parents to let the children know what is going to happen to you if you steal something. Like, man, Haiti's a brutal place. So Alex is 12 years old, growing up in that, and trying to make a living, trying to do something just to survive. There are no bugs in Haiti because Everything is eaten. It's a horrible place. And so I asked Alex, how did you keep from developing anger and bitterness and hatred in your heart? And this is what he said. Anger and bitterness is like going down a one-way street the wrong way. I'm on a one-way street to Jesus, and if I go the wrong way, I will crash. I do not want to crash. My sister was jealous. She was young. I hold nothing against her. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible. What a young man. He was about 22 years old at the time. But his, and a neat thing about Alex was, so he not only was an interpreter, but he was also a children's worker. And he would have 50 or 75 kids in the sanctuary. He could talk in a whisper. You know, kids, it just be assumed. It was amazing how God used him. It was amazing. And it'll be amazing how God uses you when you get rid of that garbage that's on you. There was a girl that I called Chris. I think, anyway, doesn't matter what her name is, I'm going to call her Chris. There was a recovery center that had a retreat up at Barview Jetty many years ago. And they invited me to come and be the guest speaker. And so I went and I was the guest speaker at this retreat. And I think it was the first evening I was there, I preached on forgiveness. And there was a lady over here that was just weeping. I visited with her and prayed with her, and she was able to forgive. Her heart was transformed. What had happened was that her ex-boyfriend had taken her baby and shaken it to a point that it shook the baby to death. Horrible. And yet she was able to forget. She became staff of that particular treatment center, because she knew Christ, but her unforgiveness kept her stuck. I could go on and on and on and on with these stories, horrible things, and how God took that. Scripture says, even those things God will use for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. My children, for the love of God, forgive. My children, for the love of God, become sin. There's a lot more I can say, and I'll say it next week. I want you to take this home. I want you to think about it. Maybe some of you this morning, you feel like, you know what, I need to do business now. One of the things I did not get to that we'll get to next week, but I'll kind of give you a heads up. Point number five is actually found in chapter 5, verse 13. Some people get stuck because they don't know if they're a Christian or not. They have doubts about their salvation. They don't know if they will spend eternity with God in heaven. Listen, 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope. I lived in the hope at one time. Now I know. God wants you to know. God wants you to, he don't want you to get stuck in the doubts. He wants you to know. I'm going to have a time of invitation. I'll ask your worship team to come forward. And if you need to know for sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to come forward and I will share with you more explicitly. Or write on your communication card that's in your seat and we can get together during the week. If you're stuck because you need to forgive someone, if you need help with that, I'll be more than happy to help you. That Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, let no man fall of the grace of God. Here's what happens. If you ask God for grace to help you forgive, he'll do it. He'll do it. When someone offends you, God says, I'm offering you grace right now to forgive. You can either accept it or reject it. If you accept it and you walk in unforgiveness, you say, Lord, I forgive them. I release them. Mm-hmm. Then you continue growing. You reject it, you're going to go into anger, bitterness, and resentment. God has so much more for you. Don't stop. Mm-hmm. Don't get stuck. Mm-hmm. Get traction and go forward. Amen.